Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wrestle me, Peter.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Oh,
how you doing, man?
Yeah,
right?
I'm COVID-free. I'm COVID. Able to breathe. I'm allowed to move around the country. How are you doing?
Oh, no. Two AstraZenecas couldn't keep me COVID-free.
No.
I don't know what I did. Everyone's angry with me. It coincided with me attending a stag do. So obviously I've had a lovely time.
Yeah.
And I've come back with COVID, unfortunately. I'm absolutely gutted, Mark.
Which city did you get the COVID in?
It was York. I think it was... I thought that the timings didn't really work for me. I didn't think that I'd got it in York at the horse racing. That I said at the time was a fucking Petri dish. No one was wearing masks. No one was adhering to any kind of guidelines. It was very much, you know, last days of Rome shit. And I was boasting that I'd made a lot of cash off the GGs, and I've come back with something far worse.
Oh,
a little
Peter.
Bit of cash. I've contracted COVID, and I've put everyone on blocks at Stack, and I feel very guilty. But you know, I didn't have any more fun than I would usually have fun. You know what I mean? I wasn't sort of being silly. I was wearing a mask all the time, and I still bloody got it.
I saw some photographs of you on social media, Peter. You had got the COVID-19 virus as a stripper. And you were making it sit on your knee, and you were pushing 10-pound notes into its top. This is what happens.
This is what happens, mate. This is what happens.
Look, the important thing is you didn't contract it 2 days before our live show, which will be taking place in a month's time on the 4th of September at the London Podcast Festival. It's every year. This is the third year we've done it. And every year, the first time they send through the ticket sales is, I would say, the most tense day in the year for me. Because I'm terrified that one day it will come back and it will say 3. And we'll it's over. People don't actually like this anymore. And we look like fools now. And then I'll have to ring the venue and they'll have that thing of going, yeah, I think it's just, you know, slow time and that part of the summer, a lot of people are away. And then we'd have to work out scaling down to different like rooms.
And then George the Poet, you'll have to ring up George the Poet and say I was right.
Exactly.
Say he was right.
Well, thankfully, Pete, I do not have to ring up George the Poet and say I'm right. He has to ring us up, Pete, and say, you know, everything you've said about me that's mean on the Patreon that I will not have heard is justified. We've sold over two-thirds of the tickets now. So I think we have only got under 50 tickets left. So if you do want to come down, then, I mean, really, now I know this sounds like sort of bad hype. Oh, you don't want to miss out on this. You've got to, you know,
I genuinely thought you were lying there, Mark. I genuinely thought that you were just over-egging it. But yes, the room is that small. Wow, okay.
It is, yeah. I think we've 150 tickets of the 200 have gone.
Right, okay.
It's also worth bearing in mind, the venue often take comps. And when they see it does well, they'll sort of go, oh, I might go and do that.
Oh, I might wander around and have a look.
They don't pay for those tickets. There's no benefit to us. So if we sell them out, they can't take the free tickets. So if you want to come down, do come down. I've been, we're going to be covering the 1991 Battle Royal at the Royal Albert Hall, which was the sort of second of the if you like, organized trips that the WWE began doing. So it was part of the European Rampage tour, where they did a European tour. I don't know why I'm bothering even saying it was the second. It's the third special they put on. It's just there's one in like 89, which doesn't fit into the named chronology. It's so boring, Pete. Nobody could possibly be bothered about that.
Yes, do come down and see us. Mark will not be talking about this.
But one of the great things, on Twitter, a guy called Math got in touch. And a while ago, someone had sent me a photograph of, I think it might have been in Hull, but it was a antique reclamation yard that had for sale one of the original massive banners, embroidered banners that hung from the ceiling of the Albert Hall that said on them Battle Royal at the Royal Albert Hall with the WWF logo and the Sky Sports box office or whatever it was. And someone had sent it to me going, you should get this, but it's really expensive. And I was like, that is brilliant. And Math had noticed that Twitter exchange, and he mentioned it to his wife, and she went and bought it for him. And so he got in contact last week to say, would you like to borrow it for the show? So we are going to have, I believe, the only bit of like merchandise that is specifically for that show is going to be there.
Wow.
To me, that is like, I would definitely get a ticket just to see a piece of fabric that was used in a show. That is enough for me. It might not be enough for you, so there will be other things, like, you know, we'll try and make it fun. It's so exciting. So thank you to everyone who's got a ticket. And thank you to everyone who's like, I'd like to go, but it just is a monumental pain. It's too far away. I'm doing something. We do appreciate the support. Obviously, you know, the show can't really keep going without you guys. And so it does mean a huge amount. Thank you very much.
And you can, and presumably you can watch it online. I'm fairly certain that's the, are they doing streams?
We'll certainly be putting the audio out. But I think, you know, I think there is a way for it to be filmed. We've just never bothered getting it done, but it probably would work better because the last two have been quite visual, and that is a disappointing podcast listen. Let's crack on, shall we? I mean, we are in the middle of WrestleMania 36. It's been an exciting time in wrestling. We're recording this a day before it actually goes out, which is slightly unusual.
Yeah, holy moly,
a lot of stuff going on. We've got
Bray Wyatt released from WWE.
Yeah, that's right.
Ric Flair's out.
Yep. Adam Cole is in the middle of a his contract has not yet been re-signed. So there's lots of speculation there. He will be using that to get a lot of money from WWE, don't you worry. But you've also got the returns coming up on the horizon. Still not 100% confirmed of CM Punk and Daniel Bryan going to AEW. So it's just a really, really exciting time to be a fan of pro wrestling. The closest this is like is something that you've never been part of, which is when you were watching the Attitude Era and WCW was huge and WWE was huge, and the two of them were, people would jump and they'd you know, you suddenly see that person on the opposition show. And it's such an exciting part of wrestling, the real and the fake, the new matchups and everything. And suddenly we're getting this with AEW. And it is just a brilliant, brilliant time to be a wrestling fan. And the other thing is, of course, you know, there's no more Fiend. So, I mean, it really is wonderful,
Mark,
news.
Bray Wyatt has left the WWE, but the Fiend has not. The Fiend remains with the WWE, so they can use him or her however they fancy.
That is true. It is seems. A mask, and you do it in red light. It could be anyone. There's a Twitter account that I do think is quite funny, which is called, I think it's called The Fiend's Mind. And it's someone who tweets as the Fiend if they were really a fiend. So a lot of the stuff is horribly sexual or just like really demented. But the Fiend's Mind put up a tweet when the news came out, and it just said, thank you for the run. It's been a pleasure to entertain you all. But remember, I will always be there every time you have a piss. And, properly funny. It is a funny thing if you are a fiend. I mean, he is a very PG fiend.
He doesn't do anything sexual, doesn't anything. He just sort of wallows around in Beetlejuice trousers.
He should just come out with no trousers on. Just, you know, just with these, not making it sexual, but just like, I'm a fiend. I have no interest in your social conventions.
Yeah. You know? It's just Donald Ducking it all over the place. Yeah. I think the way that people have sort of talked about the fiend, sorry, Bray Wyatt leaving WWE, there's a lot of love for that character, it seems, on Twitter. Or this may just be because he's leaving, everyone's kind of rewriting history a little bit.
Yeah.
It made me very much think, Mark, that you are very out of touch. How would you hate the fiend?
Am I out of touch, Pete, or are WWE listening and doing exactly what I ask? That's my big question. I think certainly in the early days when it was the Southern Preacher gimmick, I think it was really, really strong. And I think when it first became the Fiend, I think that was an interesting character. They totally lost the plot as to what it was, and it just became absolutely nonsensical. And then the red light was just something I absolutely loathed. When you have a wrestling character, it's important that the thing about them is they still come back to wrestling. And The Undertaker, for example, supernatural character, but he could really make it work in the ring. And the WWE had just sort of put so many difficult things in the way of Bray Wyatt actually going and having a decent wrestling match that the thing itself, I mean, it was hard to step back from. And I think you do have to just go, oh, we absolutely fucked that. Let's just get rid of it and never speak of it again.
Oh, speaking of contractual compliance and the WWE, I've read that CM Punk can use Cult of Personality over in AEW if Tony, whatever his name is, fancies
Tony Khan,
Tony Khan puts his hand in the pocket for it.
Yeah, and Tony Khan has done it before. So he did it with John Moxley, who took Wild Thing. I think the version by, it's a single name punk band along the lines of Rancid, but not Rancid.
Right.
Originally done, of course, by the Troggs, but they didn't go for that version. Mm. And so he's done it before. He did it with Orange Cassidy as well, who comes into Where Is My Mind by the Pixies. It really, really is worth paying that little bit extra to have that sort of thing. I was watching a little video today of Dusty Rhodes coming to the ring in the early 80s to Prince's Purple Rain, because he had a purple robe on. And it was clearly the first time Dusty had ever heard that song, because it has that big build where Prince is about to scream Purple Rain, Purple Rain. And Dusty came in, and if he'd have waited 2 seconds, he could have hit it with his fist in the air, and he had no idea. So he got his fist in the air, and a second later it starts going Purple Rain. Just great. I'm all for pop songs, people coming in. The other famous one is if Daniel Bryan does go to AEW. For many, many years in the independents, he used The Final Countdown by Europe.
Right.
And that is a thriller to come into the ring too. Again, it's a good differentiation between WWE, where everything does sound very similar, very just drumsy. And it's just great when you go, oh, this guy comes into the Pixies. It's so thrilling.
It lends a veneer of kind of authenticity that you
of reality
have, I suppose.
And not being out of touch with popular culture. I mean, I know those songs are all, you know, pretty much all of them are 30 years old now, but it just is that thing of... And the other thing is being in a crowd and a communal experience. When the Final Countdown hits, everyone does sing along. It's very difficult to sing along to whatever Keith Lee's song is, you know, that you've never heard. Right, great. Well, we are back to do WrestleMania 36 night one. I put on a Blu-ray of this, Pete, and I think there are some extra sort of weird like little bits in it, but this opened with a new you know, the Don't Try It at Home advert they
right
have.
don't mess around in your garden, kids.
Please don't land on the back of your neck doing this, because we don't want to go to court. But on the Blu-ray they had a new one. And it's got a new tagline, and it was "Know what to try and what to watch." And it shows you a load of things that you can try, like going on a roller coaster. And then it goes, "And what to watch." And then it shows Roman Reigns being thrown into some steel steps and things like that.
Yes, okay.
They quickly run out of "Know the things to try." Because a lot of things are dangerous, aren't they?
Yes, I get it. So what did they choose? A roller coaster?
A roller coaster, and there was a bit of stock footage of an elderly man jumping in an Italian square in the sun. That was what they wanted me to try. They say, try getting old, being Italian, and jumping for joy.
In a piazza. Try jumping for joy in a piazza. Yeah. Oh, I like that.
Yeah. And then, but Pete, you got to know what to watch.
What can we watch the old man in the piazza or not?
They prefer it if you tried it. you might like it. I mean, it did look, in fairness to them, it looked absolutely joyous. It looked
thrilling,
fantastic.
Yeah,
but
cool.
Yeah, they could not think what to say, what to try. They didn't want to tell you to try food in case you had an allergic reaction to it and
yes,
die. Try going out on a bike in case you live on a motorway. So they very quickly came down to having to sort of essentially just go, just jump.
Do
a not big jump. that'll be good. The fourth match on the card is the Intercontinental Champion Sami Zayn versus Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan comes out with Drew Gulak. And at this time, Daniel Bryan was beginning to sort of go, I think I'm beginning to wind down a career here. What I want to do is get more into the backstage stuff. And what he'd done was he'd taken Drew Gulak under his wing. And Drew Gulak, very good performer, a very good wrestler, sort of a technical wrestler. And he'd struggled because he didn't really have a huge amount of identity, especially by the time they'd put him on the main Raw card. So Daniel Bryan's basically had this idea of saying, well, do you know what? I'm going to help give him some direction, a little bit of rub, and that will make him a bigger star.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
What you can see in this match is that Sami Zayn comes in with Shinsuke Nakamura and Cesaro in the same role as Drew Gulak. And the reality is, Drew Gulak is not going to be helped to get over if they don't know what to do with Shinsuke Nakamura. The other thing is, of course, is that Gulak has lost to Cesaro in the pre-show match. So they're already basically setting him up as going, don't invest too heavily in this guy. Nakamura here again, just, I can't get over how odd he is if you stop going, oh, that's Shinsuke Nakamura.
And yes, yeah, yeah.
In this, he's like Dennis the Menace, drawn by the Japanese manga horror artist Junji Ito. Junji Ito does these really sort of nightmarish horrors. There's a brilliant one called Ozumaki, which I think means spiral, where people just begin spiraling. They start sort of, he just uses this motif of like people becoming snails and then sort of just weird and strange. And Nakamura has an element of that really frightening, mind-bending manga horror, even when he's just standing there.
It's his horrible teeth, gum shield, whatever he's done with his teeth.
And his little,
it's horrible.
He's got very sort of expression on his face all the time. Like
he looks like he's constantly dealing with something very painful, either emotionally or physically.
Yes. Some part of his body that you can't see is being really crushed by a vice.
But he's fine with it.
I'm going to give them the satisfaction of screaming. there are too many people hanging around in this match as well, isn't it? Right at the start, they cut to Gronk and Mojo Rawley on the balcony as well. And what this really sort of made me feel was, it just reminds you how empty the arena is. And all of these guys, Cesaro is Swiss, Nakamura is Japanese, Gronk and Mojo are dickheads. And what you have is a load of people who go, we've got to fill the silence a bit, but we don't really know what to say. And there's a bit where everyone is just going, hey, hey, hey. Everyone's just, hey, 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 like that. And it just, you really sort of go, oh, this is not the group to try and fill this empty arena, unfortunately.
No.
This match is for the Intercontinental Championship. They hold it up at the start, and I felt like I'd never even seen this version of the belt before. It's really blanded out from where it was exciting. And it was really one of the matches, I think, that people like me, you know, if you're a wrestling fan, I was really excited to see Daniel Bryan and Sami Zayn at WrestleMania. And it just turned out I shouldn't have been. It's a really odd match in that they're both really talented. They're both at a good point of their careers. This should have been a decent match, and it's like all they do is kicks and clotheslines, and bitty. They're very busy with the people outside. Sami Zayn is doing a gimmick at this time of slightly being a chicken shit heel, so he's always running away or cowering and stuff like that, and that can be, as a gimmick, that can be a bit unrewarding. But you've got Daniel Bryan there, just wrestle. Just have a wrestling match. The two of you would have a really good wrestling match. Why don't you do a wrestling match? And
you sound like a concerned teacher with two boys. You boys could be best of friends if you just sorted yourself out.
I just missed opportunities. Look, if we had put on a show for the podcast festival, and we were like, money was no object, and we had got Daniel Bryan and Sami Zayn in the main event. If they put this on in the main event, I really would. I'd sort of go, I'm not paying you. I'm not paying. You know why we brought you here? We brought you here to do a really good wrestling match, and this was lazy. I don't know what you're trying to prove. It ends where Daniel Bryan comes off the top rope into Sami Zayn's haluva kick, and it's just his foot. You know, then he pins him, and it's just nothing seems to have happened by the time it ends, and. Afterwards, I was thinking, you know, incredibly, I think this might actually be Daniel Bryan's worst WrestleMania match. Considering I think he
it's
once...
It's a bit of a nothing, I suppose, isn't it?
To Sheamus in 8 seconds. And that in itself was a better match because it had more of a sort of reaction, and there was more of a, you know, that was spectacular. Whereas this, which you're just like, oh, mates, you know, what are you thinking?
The The situation on the outside ring fascinated me because they get like a couple of the most talented wrestlers on the roster, and they just catch a man.
Yeah.
They just catch a man when he gets thrown out, and it's like, is that all you get? Is that all we get from them?
That's
Jesus,
it.
Lord.
It would be different as well if you didn't see that spot in pretty much every single match that involves more than two people. It's such a pain. The next match is the SmackDown Tag Team Championship ladder match. It's the New Day versus the Usos versus Morrison and Miz, but there's a problem. So what's happened is that Miz has decided he doesn't want to take part in WrestleMania. The official result, the official sort of reason is illness. But this was very much at the start point of the pandemic, where people were very concerned about whether it could be transmitted to young children. So Miz had a young family, and I believe he made the decision that he didn't obviously want to put them at risk. So he pulled out of this match, at which point they kind of go, oh, well, let's just take out another one out of each of the teams, and then the three men will compete for the tag team championship. Bit of a weird decision.
It's a weird decision. It's a bit of a mess.
I mean, you know, just I don't know, just make it not for the tag belts.
Do something else.
The very fact is, of course, is they don't actually change the belts either. So there was no real reason to have them defended in this match. I mean, Kofi Kingston had won the title, the world title, at last year's WrestleMania. And within a year, here he is back in the middle of the tag team scene. Just a horrible indictment about how, I don't know, just they keep reverting to type with Kofi Kingston. Even when they finally give him the monster push where he really gets over, within a year, everything's reset. It's like it's never even happened. It's so frustrating. Out comes Jimmy Uso, representing the Usos, and then John Morrison. This is Morrison returning to the WWE after a decade away. He'd been wrestling all over the world. He'd been in Mexico's AAA, Lucha Underground, and Impact. Wherever he went, he would change his name ever so slightly to fit in with the local area. Right. So in Mexico, he became Johnny Mundo, Johnny World. And then in Impact, he became Johnny Impact. Clearly, he's not.
That's going to be limited, isn't it? I always think
really
when people. I've said this before, I've never understood why people. You know, certainly in my purview, in my kind of job, they would on their Twitter handles, they would always put their name and then the radio station they work for in the handle. And you're like, you're not going to be Joseph XFM forever, mate.
Exactly.
And
that.
You weren't. You got fired almost immediately.
John Morrison, Impact Mundo, Johnny Nitro, he's been before as well. He clearly is a very creative performer, but he just doesn't seem to be interested in the other side, the outside the ring stuff. The Johnny bit doesn't really help either, because it just sounds, if I said to my dad, think of a wrestler's name from scratch for the wrestling show Impact, he'd probably go, Johnny Impact. And you go, not good enough. Well, Johnny Impact goes, that is good enough. That's absolutely
enough.
Fine. He actually won the Impact Heavyweight Championship from Austin Aries at Bound for Glory 2018. And this is one of those nice little bits of things becoming too real. So they have the match set up. And as they got closer to the pay-per-view, the two of them began to sort of trade insults on Twitter. But they managed to go very quickly from this is all pro wrestling to getting really, really personal and angry with each other. Impact began mocking Aries being short, at which point Aries responded by mocking the weight of Johnny Mundo, Johnny Impact's wife, who is the wrestler Taya Valkyrie, now known
as
Frankie Monet.
When he went a bit strongly, didn't he? Yeah.
They basically worked themselves into a shoot, brother, like Hogan would love. Johnny Impact then won the belt at Bound for Glory 2018, and he did his finishing move off the top rope, the Starship Pain, landed on Aries and pinned him. Aries immediately no-sold. So as soon as the pinfall had been counted, Aries jumped up like nothing had happened, and he began shouting at the commentator, who was Don Callis, at ringside before giving everyone the finger all around. That was his last match in Impact, unsurprisingly.
Yeah, okay, good, yeah.
Impact had also wrestled across the world. He came to Britain, where he became the five-star wrestling champion. Five-star, fascinating sort of story. It was a Scottish promotion, which lasted from 2015 to 2018. It got a TV deal, so it was on Free Sports and Channel 5. And they decided they would hold a 128-man tournament for their world belt, which they actually managed to do. Astonishing sort of feat. They had they'd offered CM Punk $1 million to wrestle in their tournament. I think half hoping he'd say no, because that would
be a nightmare. The story isn't actually him turning up and doing it. The story is them offering it,
exactly,
isn't it?
Situation. He said he didn't want anything to do with it. Obviously, phew, that was almost a real problem. Constantly Googling, is a verbal offer the same as a contract?
Can we afford Cult of Personality?
Yeah. But what was interesting is they were sort of set up essentially because they had a video game deal. So they released their own five-star wrestling game on the PS3 and the PS4. I saw a review which described it as an inherently ugly video game. But they did fold, obviously. When you're doing 128-man tournaments, bringing in Rey Mysterio and John Morrison, and expecting that Channel 5 will pay you enough to cover all that, you're on a one-way sort of ticket to a hiding, really. John Hennigan is interesting. His real name is John Hennigan, and we move into the world now where he's outside of character. In 2017, he was in his first feature film. He was in the lead role. It was called Boone the Bounty Hunter, and he starred in that, co-wrote it, and was the exec producer. Exec producer is just what you get when you essentially are.
Pay the money.
Well, exactly. Yeah, you're the lead. You're the lead actor. They go, you can be exec producer as well. And you go, oh, great. Okay.
Cool.
He sold his house in order to finance that film.
Oh, mate, what are you doing?
Disaster.
The modern wrestler's supposed to be a bit more intelligent. It's not like, you know, back in the day, wrestlers would make little posters of themselves, like in Star Wars and stuff. Nowadays,
exactly.
You wouldn't.
Exactly. Now, look, Superstar Billy Graham, he didn't sell any of those posters, but he didn't sink however much it cost to do that. I slightly think with him, you know, he's obviously sort of a good-looking bloke. He's very muscular. And he obviously thought, this is a good calling card, you know.
Hmm.
The whole point of making films and being in films is so you get more money and you can buy a better house. Don't get rid of the house that you've got to make a film. That's In 2018, he began working on his directorial debut. It was a short film called The Iron Sheik Massacre, which he also produced and co-wrote with his wife, Tyre Valkyrie. It was expected to be released in 2020. No, didn't arrive.
Didn't, no.
It's funny when people are like, oh, I wrote and produced and directed and starred in my own film. And they think that the four of those things make it more impressive. Whereas I go, what? Literally, you had no one else involved in it. It's just
You did all of the work. You did all of the work there and you couldn't afford anyone else.
And there was no one to say, that's not a good idea. It's like me, I've done my own album, Pete, you know, and I play all the instruments and I've produced it and everything and I'm distributing it myself. And I mean, you just sort of go, oh, you've lost your mind. You've lost your mind.
God, and here it is. Never made a cause you any trouble.
I'm a big worm.
to be fair, Prince would actually do all of those things and do quite a good job at it.
Yeah.
But there's only a couple of people who could do that.
That's it. He's sort of famous for doing it all, isn't it? I mean, John Morrison doesn't seem yet to be famous for like producing and directing his own short films. I mean, all I'm saying is it's nearly 2022. And this is way behind schedule, Pete, way behind schedule. I will foreclose on that fucking house unless I get this film. The match itself, look, it's fine. It's not helped by the fact there are no audience there. And so it does make it a little bit, they are just three men. Like, it sort of reminds me of like being at school where you'd go to, you know, like to a field on a weekend and then you'd wrestle and it was really good fun. And then someone like older from a different school would turn up and go, what are you three queers doing? And you'd feel very stupid and like very, you'd suddenly sort of go, yeah, there aren't crowds. It's just the three of us pretending
it's
there
just
are.
Like, yeah,
and that's what this feels like to me. You sort of watch it and you sort of go, this is sort of oddly pathetic to do for no one. And I know we're all watching at home, but It's just an odd thing. The ladders really clatter in this as well because there's no audience at all. And it just sounds like there's builders working off screen. It really sort of chung, chung, clang, bong. As they climb the ladders for the first bit as well, you see for the first time in the performance center, they have these huge ceiling fans. And when they first go up, you can't work out how far it is, and it just looks
how close
like
they are,
looks
yeah.
like John Morrison is just walking straight into a fan that he's not seen properly. That heart, what a thrilling addition that would be to just have like the belt on the end of a fan, make it really difficult.
Yeah, spinny and
spinning.
Sharp and quick,
much
yeah.
better. Morrison ends the match by he finally, you know, they're all three of them are on the ladder, and they Uso and Kofi give him a headbutt. And he falls backwards with the belts. And I think the plan is that he falls backwards onto the ladder. He's totally destroyed. But by chance, he's got the belts in his hand.
He's got the belts.
A lucky escape.
Yeah, yeah.
But he lands on that ladder so hard that the belts just bounce straight out of his hands. That he just goes, boing, and off they go. And clearly, he was supposed to hold on to them. Because you get Kofi and Uso looking at each other like,
No.
There's no bell. There is no bell at all. There could have been a bell. They could have just rung that bell and it would have been fine.
Yeah, and just sort of went, look, this is what's going to happen.
He got the bell. Yeah. So they look at each other and you can see them like looking at each other with that little look of going, do we carry on now?
Yeah.
We're both aware that we need to. And then Morrison rolls off, grabs the belts and they ring the bell. I mean, it is a big thump. To fall hard enough that things come out of your hands, that your hands just go, no work, no more.
No.
No work. I've just got to deal with this. No work. Boom. It's a good match, this, but it's really oddly unmemorable. And that, I think, is because you don't get the sense of build that the crowd would give it. You know, there is no difference, really, when you watch this, in the reaction that you get viscerally between them falling off the top of the ladder and just doing a clothesline, because there isn't the accompanying sort of like, you know, roar for the whole thing, which is, you know, it's sad. I do feel for a lot of people in this WrestleMania because it is a brand new way of working, and they are working as hard as they can, and they just don't realize at this point that, you know, whatever they do, it's just going to feel weird and hollow. Just a strange one. But looking back on it, I think that is, even though it's unmemorable, I think this is actually one of the better matches in the whole of the WrestleMania that we've seen. But
I've not gone ahead and watched the next day, but I get the sense that this was the better day.
Yes.
The new day.
Oh, yes, very much so. I think, you know, apart from when you're watching it at the time, this was, can they do it? And you go, my God, look, they really managed it, and they really, you know, worked against the odds, and they've put on something which doesn't feel un-WrestleMania-y. By the time you get to the second day, you are a bit like, oh, here we're back again now.
Didn't need 2 days of this.
They
could have made this shorter. I can't remember who was talking about the... is it Ever-Rise? Ever-Rise?
Uh-huh.
Is he a wrestler? He was talking about the reshoots in the early weeks of the pandemic. He said they were just filmed back-to-back all day, 24 hours, just filmed the whole thing, and some matches, they had to do it two or three
good
times.
Good luck. I mean, that's the thing as well with WWE, which is, I think, you know, you begin to micromanage and you treat it like television and you do retakes and things. And actually, you know, part of the appeal of wrestling is you go, it's live and you're seeing
it's that
as it happens.
Of getting stuff wrong.
Yeah, and there is a funny thing about knowing it's pre-recorded. You sort of just go, I am not going to see, no one's leg is going to come off and spin out into the crowd. You know, I know this is going to be sanitized, and there is something.
Yeah.
I don't always want to see people's legs coming off, Pete, but I just like
that's what
like,
that's what you wanted to call this show, the leg coming off podcast. I just want
like,
people's legs
I
coming
like
off.
The slim possibility that it might happen. That is all. Hey, look, thank you for joining us. We are a couple of matches to go. I've watched the Boneyard match, I would say, three or four times now, Pete.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
little spoiler, I think it's fucking brilliant still.
I think it's fucking brilliant still as well. Look forward to that next week on the show.
Oh, you know it. So until then, do make sure you buy tickets. We have a Patreon. It's full of all beautiful, lovely, like, you know, stuff that you've not heard on the mainstream because, you know, we refuse. It's like vintage. What am I trying to say? It's just really good. Just go. It's 8 quid. Come on, don't cry.
Stuff. Yeah,
you know,
come on.
What can you get for 8 quid these days? Meal deals. And then you can get probably 6 chocolate bars. Sounds a really good deal.
On top of that, that's really good. Wow. So, yeah, but that's going to last you a month, is it?
No. To be honest, Pete, that is going to last me, I would say, 1 hour and 10 minutes. So until next week, Resume!
Resume!
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.